It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Want to start by thanking a listener, Mike, who tweeted at me to point out that earlier we looked up that the Bills, since NFL overtime came into existence, have never played a tie game. That their last tie game was in December of 1972. And this listener tells me, and I didn't put this together before, that that was the last game played at War Memorial Stadium.
Oh, okay.
Last home game of the season.
73, the stadium opened, yeah.
73, the stadium opened. There was a preseason game where they returned the opening, Wallace Francis, the opening kickoff. Does that sound right?
Yes, that sounds right.
And their regular season home opener was in week three against the Jets. And it looks like it was a thriller. They won 9-7.
All right.
Did not score a touchdown, but, you know, they won. Take that down. Come on, it counts just the same, Bulldog. You've said that for years.
The kicker did his job.
John Leipold.
John Leipold, yep.
Sal Capaccio.
Square toe, straight on kicker.
Sal, I assume you knew all this. did you realize that they have not played a tie game since the Rock Pile? A guy called in just, I don't know, maybe to be funny. He said, I predict a tie game this year. And I'm thinking, like, when was the last one? And I could not think of one, and that's because it's been that long.
Okay, so, no, I didn't realize it. If you had said to me, when was the last Bills tie game, I would have been like, well, geez, there was none in the 80s I can remember.
Right.
You know, it had to go back to the 70s. So I would guess it would be around that time. I wouldn't know. Now, my question is, because this has now opened up the rabbit hole here, How many teams, does every team have a tie game in the overtime era? Or are the Bills one of how many who don't?
I don't know. I would doubt they're the only one. I mean, it's not that common, of course,
right.
But I don't know. Let's try to find out. How would you find out? By counting every Pro Football Reference page, which I'm not sure I'm up for. maybe there'd be a Wikipedia page, like every team's last tie game or something like that.
Yeah.
It would tell you.
I just looked that up. No, there's not that, but Wikipedia does have tie games and listed, so you could go through that. I guarantee you there's a way to do it on Pro Football Reference Stathead. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
So that might be a project for me tonight, you know, while I'm kicking around the football game and the U.S. Open.
Who has more fun than people?
Right.
Let's find out. I want to know these answers.
Should we talk about what you got going on tonight? You got something going on tonight, don't you?
I'm going to do a little watch party tonight, you know, going on. But, you know, it's just a little thing on my own. I want to get people together just to kind of see. And we're going to invite in Lorenzo Alexander, Eric Wood. They're going to join me. Going to go online. Going to do it. So people can follow me on social media, on X and on my YouTube page. And just going to have a little fun to see what we can do with this. Kind of like the Manning cast.
Right, I was going
to
say, it's a Sal
we'll
cast.
It like, yeah, it's a Sal cast, yeah. And, you know, the difference is, you know, you can't show the game on what we can. That's illegal, right? They can do that because they're on ESPN.
Right.
So literally you're going to have to be like kind of watching it on the side with everyone. But people come in and comment and just to have some fun. We're not going to do it long. I just want to have a little fun and get everybody, you know, juiced up for the season.
Well, a big part of our training camp preseason conversations has been injuries, as there were a few days there when they seemed to be really piling up. Sean McDermott adjusted his plans for the final preseason game, largely because of it. Here we are to the opener, Sal. We know that Milano is out long-term, but I've got one guy, Javon Solomon, who is a defensive end, did not practice today. Everybody else, even Trubisky, practicing in full, so is that the extent of it?
Yeah, and even he might have had a hard time getting a uniform on Sunday. Solomon, maybe.
I agree with that. Look, it just goes back to a lot of, you know, panic and, oh my gosh, they're in such a bad spot with injuries. And as I said to you guys and we've talked about, they generally play this to where it's landed here. That's generally what winds up happening, which is they understand what each guy's injury is as they go, and they'll kind of play the long game, dial it back, manage how they have to manage. Now, it doesn't mean that they're ever always, they'll be totally fine. I'm sure there were questions because you have to manage through it. But once these started popping up, it's like, okay, how do we make sure they're ready for week one? That's really what it comes down to and what the Bills have done here. So, looking at the injury report now, I think it's awesome. It's pretty clean. The Cardinals had two guys listed yesterday. One didn't practice and one was limited. And the Bills have only one guy who didn't practice. Everybody else is full, as you said. So it looks like it's a pretty clean bill of health. And it's a good point you make, too, about I don't even know if Javon Solomon would actually dress, considering the defensive end depth they have right now. So that might be a player where, you know, you're not going to have him available anyway as a healthy scratch. Now he's just going to be a, you know, an injured scratch, basically,
right.
It looks like.
So, yeah, when we were in the throes of that here, it's like, you know, the safety position was a big concern, of course. And, you know, I don't know that they're exactly out of the woods there. They've got Hamlin, and he's going to start. We talked about this yesterday, so I won't rehash all that. But there was a lot of concern back there. But receiver, not so much Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but once Curtis Samuel was like week to week, I think was the official designation from McDermott. I remember talking with you then, Sal, a couple of weeks ago. Like, do they have another guy to do what they're going to ask him to do on the roster? Like, that could be a big hole in their scheme and what they want to try to do, at least some of what they want to try to do. So his being a full participant so far these 2 days is a very good sign.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's all kind of landed here for the wide receivers for them to have an open playbook. I think that's what this comes down to, right? Like, what can you do? What can't you do with the people? And I do think, yeah, Curtis Samuel's a really, really big part of what they want to do and how they want to formulate their plan this week and throughout the season. So for him to, you know, be out there practicing, it looks like he's full go. He is full go, obviously. And it seems like everything's going to be available to them that they've worked on. And I'm excited to see that because, as I said to you guys, I really believe the Bills have been even way more vanilla and close to the vest than we normally see because they have a new coordinator on both sides of the ball. Now, you know what you're going to get from a Sean McDermott defense anyway, but really, like, the Arizona Cardinals are kind of guessing a little bit on what the offense is going to do, and they have been, I think, very intentional not to show anything, and Curtis Samuel is a big part of what they're going to do.
Is it then, after saying all that, worth asking about a pecking order? I mean, we've just spent the entire summer doing this. You're making the point that it's even harder to predict because of Brady, although he was here down the stretch, but some of these players were not. I mean, do you have a pick for who might be their leader offensively in terms of, you know, receiving production on Sunday?
I'm going to go with the default of Dalton Kincaid. I just think Dalton Kincaid is, to me, their receiving leader throughout the year. Now, that's going to change with ebbs and flows throughout the season. It's going to change with how teams game plan for them, what they want to shut down. But that's, to me, now, just wide receiver. I'd be surprised if a receiver by, you know, name receiver comes up with more touches than Curtis Samuel. It's just because they're going to use him in so many ways, and he'll get the ball in ways other than just throwing it to him forward from the line of scrimmage. So I think that he would have to be my bet for the guy who's going to have the most touches. I think Dalton Kincaid is the guy that basically is your biggest target pretty much on a primary and a weekly basis.
Is there a place, I don't know, I'm suddenly hesitating to ask you a question that I'm afraid you can't answer. Is there a place where Samuel has lined up most frequently, or is it too hard to gauge because he's just kind of all over the place?
I couldn't like specifically say that, but it has been. I think the clues are out there that people know that it's just been all over the place. I can comfortably say he's a wide receiver. That's what he is, right? You know, that's what he does. It's his job. He's a wide receiver. But all you got to do is go back to the way he was used in Carolina and even listen to some of the things, go back to training camp and know that they moved him around. And, you know, even before the snap, you know, line up one place, maybe winds up another, whatever it is. But I think you'll see some of that on Sunday. And who knows? Maybe we'll see less of that Sunday and more on Thursday night because they don't want to show the Miami Dolphins 5 days later how they're using him. Right. I think a lot of that matters here.
Right. Game 2, Thursday night in Miami, a week from tonight. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. One area that I know I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about or we talking about, maybe you guys have together or separately, is run defense. And it's interesting to look at last year. I mean, the Bills, again, were top team defensively in many of the stats. Fourth in points allowed, third in takeaways. They've been good/fortunate in those areas too. 15th in rushing yards allowed, 28th in yards per attempt. That rushing yards total stat can be distorted by, like, well, how often are you winning and are teams running the ball against you? This has been a very successful team. So that attempts number is probably lower than it could be. 28th in yards per attempt. And an interesting, not necessarily related to run defense, 25th in the league, Bills, last year, percentage of opponents' drives ending in points. Mm-hmm. It's counterintuitive, isn't it? That they would have the fourth best points allowed total, but one of the bottom third, I guess that would be, bottom quarter in drives against that ended in points. I want to ask just your feelings on run defense right now. James Conner is close to a bell cow in the traditional sense for Arizona. You play them in week one, he's healthy. You play them in week three, he may not be. And you have a different equation there. But this was a team, Arizona, last year, Sal, that ran the ball a lot. And he was really efficient, Connor. So I wonder if this is like a key angle looking at this game.
I think so. But I think the Bills, you know, you could definitely look at it the way you just did. A couple things here I want to put in context. I think it really hurt them early in the year last year, some of these numbers. I'm looking at by a game-by-game basis last year. They allowed, opening game against the Jets, they allowed 6.1 yards a carry. Now, they did a great job against Vegas. Remember when they totally shut down Josh Jacobs, right? He had, like, an unbelievably, like, miserable day. But then the next two games, 8.1 allowed, 7.5 allowed, 4.9 allowed. That kind of skewed the rest of the season. Really, the rest of the season, there were only a couple games the entire year they allowed over 5 yards a carry on the ground. They were towards the back end, but I think the early rush problems were what contributed to a lot of these numbers.
Okay.
And I remember them early in the season, especially in that Jets game, Taylor Rapp was on the field for that long Breece Hall run, right? I don't think he played that same kind of role later in the year that he was early. It took a little while for them to figure that out, find out how they wanted to kind of morph, especially after the Matt Milano injury, how they wanted to play guys. So I think that played into it. The second part of that is I think the Bills were intentional about improving their rush defense this offseason. Because all that said, you're right, Mike, it still wasn't good enough. And they gave up big plays at inopportune times. They went out, and I like what they did on the defensive side, re-signing Daquan Jones. I mean, look, he was hurt week five. He didn't play a lot of the year. The guy was playing at a tremendously high level, as you guys know, before he got hurt. They go out and get Austin Johnson. They signed Dwayne Carter. I think these are players who I think they believe are really going to help against the run. And I think Ed Oliver becomes better when he has guys like that next to him, by the way, like a Daquan Jones. So, yeah, I do think the numbers are a little skewed, but I also think that they realized they had to be better there overall, and they went out and they tried to address that.
You know, every game is different. Every season is different. And I think in this matchup, saying all that about Arizona and Connor, McBride is the most dangerous player on the Cardinals for me in this game because – you know, it's almost ironic with the Jones injury and how you laid out rushing performance by the Bills as a defense. Milano, I think, of more coverage. But there are some really stark numbers on the Bills' defense in the middle of the field pre-Milano's injury and then post. And so I'm thinking that is an area to watch also in this game is over the middle with a tight end who really broke out last year. You'd want that from Kincaid this year. I mean, Kincaid had a much better rookie season than McBride did. McBride had almost a non-event of a rookie season. But last year, he really was tremendous later on. I got to think, even with Harrison on the team now, that they'll want to, you know, exploit any kind of matchup advantage they can get there.
Yeah, I mean, look, they have weapons everywhere. And, you know, Greg Dortch is another guy that you have to kind of be weary of, right? He can do a few different things for them. Connor had a career year last year, over 1,000 yards for the first time in his career last year. He really played well. The problem is with him is he just hasn't been healthy. Look, I think this comes down to, you know, it's really Kyler Murray is a dynamic player. He's very good with his feet. He's an accurate passer with his arm. You know, we know what happened a few years ago, 4 years ago in Arizona. The Bills came back, but Kyler Murray didn't play a bad game, and then all of a sudden he made the bad big pass at the end of the game. All those guys are weapons, but to me it comes down to how can you impact and affect Kyler Murray. If you can't allow him to kind of use his entire arsenal and you make them a little bit more one-dimensional, then that will help the Bills a lot here. I also think that it's interesting that these two teams rarely played their starters at all in the preseason, as we've talked about. And I just wonder how much of getting back up to speed that's going to be for either side.
Who do you think of the players we've talked about? Because I agree. I've said a few times today, I think I'm going to need the Bills offense to really be on point in this game, because I think, and it's not just because there's new faces and a lot of change on defense. I think Arizona, I'm inclined to expect them to move the ball and therefore get some points. Who do you think the Bills are most worried about? Is it Murray? I mean, obviously the quarterback, that's such an athlete, like Murray, but you just mentioned a few guys here, like the tight end is a weapon, Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, who do you want to be rolling coverage at? I would assume you'd want to mix that up, but like, who's the guy you're most worried about in this game, Sal?
Outside of Murray, because I think that's the key, right? It's Murray, yeah. But if you're talking in the past, I don't think it's Connor. I mean, yeah, you want to stop James Connor, right? Obviously, he's a really, you know, he's a tremendous player, but look, I mean, running the ball, right? It's like this whole thing. I'm not to go off subject, but Derrick Henry tonight. Oh, my God, Derrick Henry. And the Ravens, I'm like, okay, great. Like, they're going to have another guy to run the ball with, right? Like, right. It's not how you really win in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, yeah, exactly. It's not how you really win in the NFL. You win really by having a dynamic quarterback and throwing the football, which obviously the Ravens do in that situation. To me, it's probably McBride because, you know, the Bills have a history, in recent history even. I know it goes a way back, but Travis Kelce and some of the things that he's done against them. You know, teams, when you have a really good tight end, teams have found ways to, you know, utilize that tight end against the Bills in situations. Go to the Cincinnati game in the playoffs a few years ago. I think that's a guy that the Bills probably, to me, are going to have to really be cognizant of. And I think even more so without Matt Milano, because that becomes a matchup now where you have to really create your own matchup on defense. How do you want to play Trey McBride? Are you going to cover him with Dorian Williams? Are you going to cover him with Damar Hamlin, who's starting? Taylor Rapp? Like, I think that becomes a matchup in itself. Because of the Milano loss, it becomes even bigger.
None of that sounds great to me, but we will see what happens on Sunday. The last time they met, the Hail Murray in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Can you guys name the three Cardinals who caught passes on that last drive? One being Hopkins on the touchdown.
Wow.
Connor wasn't there yet, so I'm not going to say him for a running back, but I thought they had a dump down to a running back on that drive to get him a little bit closer. I could be wrong.
Andy Isabella.
Okay.
Hopkins.
Chase Edmonds.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
Does it seem like Larry Fitzgerald would have been in the league for that game?
The running back dump down I had, Chase Edmonds. Anyway, yeah, wow. That's
a, good.
Yeah, that is.
I would not have.
Yep.
I would have guessed he was out of the league by then. Kenyon Drake would have been. And Edmonds would have been the running backs for the most part in Arizona in that game. Sal, it is, and I hope I'm not, you know, really putting you on the spot here, but I feel like this is kind of your thing. I'm sure you're somewhat prepared, at least. This is the last call for predictions, right? I mean, the season starts tonight in the NFL, divisions, Super Bowl, MVP, Bills, anything. Do you have a couple you're sort of, you know, you've been talking a lot about or thinking a lot about here as the season starts?
Well, I still like the Bills specifically to win the AFC East, but that's because I just have so many questions about what's happening with the Jets, and I'm not a believer in the Dolphins maintaining or taking a step. I think it'll be the other way for them regarding their defense. They may still be a team that starts off a house on fire and, oh my God, how are you going to stop this offense? But generally then it gets a little bit, you know, you get some film on them, they get some colder weather, and, you know, they become what we've seen over the last several years. I just don't trust, you know, the Jets and their offensive line, Aaron Rodgers, and as much as the Bills have a gauntlet of a schedule, I think it's going to be close, it's going to be tight, and the Jets certainly can do that. I like the Bills to come out of the division still. In the AFC otherwise, I do really like Houston. I mean, I know they're kind of everybody's kind of darling here, but there's some questions. I don't know if it's sustainable, all that great stuff we saw from C.J. Stroud last year, but I know what I saw I loved. And they have really, really great playmakers. And on defense, they're really good too. And they have a defensive head coach who seems like he's really smart. And Bobby Slowick was in a tremendous offensive coordinator. Like, I think that's just a team that's going to be there all year long. I think the toughest division in football might be the AFC North. And I don't really know how to handicap that. I think it's the Ravens division. I think. I'm with you, Mike. I heard you earlier saying you're kind of out on Cincy. I'm not real high on Cincy. I wonder. And by the way, on your point on Burrow's injury, I have a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, right? Someone who tells me, like, yeah, it might not be something. It might be something he's got to deal with for his career. And, like, there's some questions, right? Like, it's not. He might not be the same. And it's just something to monitor. And it would be a shame for him personally in his career, but that is something out there. So I think you're talking about a lot of those same teams there at the top of the AFC with Kansas City. I think they should pretty much – I actually do like Denver a little bit more probably in the West to have a bit of a step-up year, not challenge them necessarily. And then on the NFC side, who knows? I guess the Rams are like the hot pick now. Everybody's liking the Rams. And I see why. Sean McVay, they took a step back last year. They kind of retooled. They have a lot of weapons out there. But I just think it's tougher to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC. You can get there in the NFC. I don't know about winning it. The Eagles are going to be very tough, obviously, too. So if you're looking for me to make a pick in the NFC, I guess it comes down to Eagles-Niners again. I'm not super sold on the Packers yet, guys. Not. And the Lions look really good. They're going to be in the mix. So I guess one of those three teams. The Packers might be. I just need to see it more. Again, Jordan Love, 8 games? I don't know if that's enough for me yet.
I got to think, not that it would be him in this case, but Sal is at the most 4 friends away removed from Burrow. I bet Sal has a friend of a friend who is Burrow, right? Like Eric Wood. Well, I don't know if Eric Wood and Burrow are friends. You get Eric Wood to Zach Taylor or something, and there you go. You're done.
Yes.
Like two friends removed from Burrow, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, Max. Yeah. So, no, I'm sure he's not your source on this, though. Burrow himself. All right. Thank you, Sal. Hope your event goes well tonight. Yes?
Yeah, real quick.
Christian Kirk.
You guys brought it up yesterday.
Yep.
So I asked Josh Allen today. I said, hey, I was asked on the radio, and people are wondering, what is your connection to Christian Kirk? You said you were at his wedding, and people wanted to know. His answer was very logical. He said him and Kyle Allen, of course, are very good friends. Kyle Allen went to Texas A&M with Christian Kirk. So they all work out together, so he became really good friends with Christian Kirk. It's really that simple.
Very good. Makes sense.
All right.
Friend of a friend to Kirk.
Yep. All right, there it is.
At this point.
All right, well, good luck with your thing tonight, and yep. I know. Hopefully we'll have some time tomorrow. I know we're not doing a whole hour like we have been all these many years, but we'll catch up.
For sure, guys. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Feel free to make your big prediction or predictions for this year. 803-0550. We'll keep on it. We've got the NFL opener tonight, Baltimore at Kansas City. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
My Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills win their first Super Bowl. They are the most underrated, great team ever. To make it to 4 straight Super Bowls will never, ever happen again. I got the Eagles against the Bills, and the Bills win their first Super Bowl.
Charles Barkley. Do I want to? I have to.
The great Charles Barkley.
Were the 90s Bills underrated, he was saying, right? Most underrated great team ever.
Not sure. Yeah.
4 straight Super Bowls will never happen again.
Yeah, I think that's what he was talking about. I don't think he was saying these Bills are underrated. He was referring to the 90s. Yeah, I think that's right.
These Bills of the last 4 years, it's not exactly underrated to me, but probably deserve more credit than they've gotten versus those teams. Those teams, yes, they lost, but like most football fans know that about them and respect that as a great accomplishment, right? I mean, they didn't win the big one, but that's like a thing that people, I don't know if they're underrated. I would not call those teams underrated, you know, just generally. You know, these guys, just so much of it, maybe in a different universe, a parallel universe, or in a different market like Kansas City or something, I wouldn't think this way. I think I probably would, but it's so much about, everything's about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Everything is about the postseason, and I'm fine with that. I'm not.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm never fine with that.
I think the Bills, everything that has happened to this point, from our perception of what the national opinion is, what the national perception is of them, I feel like it all fits. I think they've gotten a lot of credit, and Allen has gotten a lot of credit for being, right up as good as anyone. But they haven't gotten it done when it's mattered the most, and that is going to ding you. And so you've got year over year of that, And I mean, I'm sort of on this train for a few weeks now. Like, none of it is surprising to me. And I'm not saying that you're surprised by any of it, but I don't feel like they've been underrated any of these years. They've been a Super Bowl favorite mostly since the middle of the 20 season on. And this year is where that stopped because they haven't really rewarded anyone for that faith they've had. People are betting on that. They've lost. And they haven't even really gotten that close in the end. I mean, they're two games away from winning the Super Bowl.
Once out of the second round.
Yeah. So that's the way it works, man. Like, they can keep piling up excellent regular seasons. Let's hope they do it again. But it ain't going to matter if they can't come through beyond beating Skylar Thompson and Mac Jones.
Oh, you went there.
And don't forget Mason Rudolph if you're going to bother
with
Mac Jones.
Okay, thank you for that. Yeah.
Mason Rudolph.
He's going to have to beat that score. Kind of by a lot. Because those guys are, I think, inarguably pretty terrible. None of them have starting jobs. One of them wasn't even a starter to begin with.
Do you want to explore that? I mean, okay, in a vacuum, teams led by those quarterbacks should not win playoff games, and they didn't. But I've never thought to sort of take credit away from the Bills for having beaten those quarterbacks, right? It's who they got. Is it like sort of the sum total of all this is that the Bills were lucky that they didn't have to face Pickett or even Tua in the playoffs?
No, it's not, because I think they're the better team than those teams, even with those players there. So I was just, I was stretching just try to make the point, because I really do feel like the Bills are not, I think they're perfectly rated. Even right now, I think they're the season's going to start, and if they start off 7-0, then they're going to have been slept on, and that's fine. I can live with that.
Can you imagine?
No.
I can't. 7-0?
Very hard
I cannot.
Imagine that.
I could have probably last year.
Yeah, or the year before. So I think where they are, like they've got a tip, I think, a decent amount of stuff upside down here, and just change how they're perceived, because they are perceived, I think, as a flawed team, maybe with a flawed coach to an extent, with a rock star quarterback that just can't put it all together.
Do you know that we saw this at the draft the other night. I saw, maybe you didn't see it. We weren't sitting together. The Bills' streak of not losing by more than 6 points.
Oh, I don't know it. I didn't see it Monday night or Tuesday night, excuse me.
So I believe it's 40 games.
Yeah.
Which is tied for the longest in NFL history. The last regular season, the Cincinnati loss was by more than six. The last Bills regular season loss by more than six was by 26.
That Indy game, right?
To Jonathan Taylor's right. 5 touchdowns and the Colts, November of 21. They have not lost by more than 6 points since. In the regular season, 40 games, and if they avoid losing by 7 or more on Sunday, I think that would be the NFL record. Again, though, like to the original point, not one that sort of anybody knows or necessarily cares about.
Right.
But I don't not care about the playoffs. I mean, part of this is, like even right now, that it's interesting to talk about, because so many sports fans put everything into the postseason. Even to individuals, like you're nothing unless you can win. But, you know, in general, for me with sports, like baseball is kind of ruined now because it's just such a random thing to go 162 and then 3-5. You know, it's just like the worst team. Put the White Sox in a best of five with the Yankees. Maybe not the White Sox. Put the Marlins in a playoff series with the Yankees. They'd be like 40% to win, something like that. So what do I do with World Series champion? What do I do with Stanley Cup champion when it's so common now for upsets to happen?
And that's at least a series. And here we're talking about just one games.
Yeah, right. Like football doesn't have rando Super Bowl winners. Quite the opposite. They have, dynasties over the last 20 years. They've got like just sort of only a handful of quarterbacks and teams have ever won it. So it's not like football has that problem. But I just think prolonged excellence is more impressive than one-off series and games. And this is not to say like anything away from the Chiefs or whatever, but the Bills have done something really incredible here in these 4 years, and that they don't have even a Super Bowl appearance is a shame.
Right. You know, just, maybe you'll like this. I'm going to say this. I would agree with it. I'm not saying it just to say the next thing here in the conversation we're having. The 4 years, 20 to now, so those four seasons, they're a better regular season team than the Giants team that won two Super Bowls in 07 and 11.
Easily.
Right? It's just a better team. But the Giants got, you know, and on the road both times. They just did it. They went and won three games and then won the Super Bowl against the Patriots. It's crazy. But they did it. And so they're not better than these Bills. But
who cares?
They've got the hardware. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Like, you know, you line those teams up and have them play. Like, I would expect the Bills to be favored. Maybe as long as it's not the Super Bowl. But you're playing the Super Bowl, maybe it'd be like, well, the Giants, you know, they know how to do it.
Oh, I hate that so much, though.
But, yeah, I mean, there is room to, I think, appreciate how excellent they've been. But I don't think the average fan out there in other parts of the country, I don't expect them to care about that, because I don't think I would care about it if it were me, about their team. You know, I know you want to be right, sure, but I don't know, just get it done. Like, you know what I'm saying about them, that I think, and we're talking about the betting markets and whatnot with Joe Ostrowski and others, like that there's a fatigue factor with the Bills. I really mean that, and I think like that even applies to me to an extent. Like, do it already. Like, let's go. I've got this QB. It's not going to last forever. You know, he will not be this player 5 years from now, most likely. Like, as dangerous as he is now, athletically running around, all the stuff. Like, you're going to run out of runway with that version of him anyway. It doesn't mean you can't win later with him being a more, I don't know, more normal quarterback as opposed to someone who's leaping over linebackers. But they got to do it. That's it. I mean, they just got to do it.
Well, as we did talk about this last year, because it was already established with Kansas City having won twice, this is the Bills, this is the Ravens, this is the Bengals, this is the Chargers with Herbert, the Dolphins. All these teams don't have, only the Bengals have even gotten there of the other elite, if you will, teams in the conference. Now you have Houston, and you might end up with another one. The Jets sort of trying to cheat it by trading for Rodgers, you know, Jacksonville or Indianapolis, somebody else, making it all the more challenging because, remember last year we were talking about Bill Barnwell took a question on one of the ESPN shows or on his column, like how many Super Bowls does Mahomes end up with? And I think he said five. And so, all right, well, that if you knew that was right, and it's one more since.
Right.
So if you knew that was right, it's a scramble, not to mention the NFC. We're not just talking about making it. You're talking about winning it. Right. Not to mention Hurts and Prescott and so on. Mm-hmm. So what are we saying? It's going to be hard. It is hard. It has been hard.
It always is.
It's always hard.
Right.
That's it. Well, we're talking playoffs here before kickoff of night one. 803-0550. We'll have the game tonight on WGR. Ravens Chiefs, 820. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here for your calls. We'll be right back. This is WGR. Opening night, Ravens Chiefs. Tomorrow night, Eagles Packers on Peacock. Bulldog, I know you saw it. The Packers are, by the traffic estimates, 2 hours away from the stadium where they're staying.
Yeah.
Yikes.
What?
It's not a big enough city to have closer hotels.
What?
Sao Paulo.
Right. What are we doing? That is insanity. Legit, if the Bills had been chosen to play in this game against, I don't know, somebody, now that these teams are on their schedule, and they were the visiting team, I would already be hot. I'm hot about it for Green Bay.
It's like going to London when Jacksonville's been there an extra week.
I mean, what are we doing? Get a bunch of grown men football players and we sit on a bus for 2 hours in traffic? Before they can go, I mean, I know they got to deal with it going to stadiums here, too, to some extent, but that's terrible. That's a terrible job.
Rex is next. Hello, Rex.
Hello, gentlemen. Mike, I was just listening to what you just said. about the most, we're about to set the record for the most games if we do or do not lose by less than 6 points. In the last 4 years, we've lost 18 games. That averages out to a little over four games a year. I would suggest that the national narrative would be that we lose close games, over four a year. It's not something to celebrate. And I would back it up with, I think the reason that we do this is because of our head coach. We obviously have more talent, not this year, but years past. We're talking about the previous four. We've had as much talent than anybody in the league. How are we losing four games a year by 6 points or less? Those are close games that, with the best quarterback in football, in my opinion, it should be a no-brainer win. I don't look at that as a positive. I look at that as a negative.
Okay.
Let me ask you though. I mean, is in this scenario where like that's a problem? And like I get it. You know, you don't want to be losing close games. You might worry that your coach doesn't have it or he gets tight or whatever. But would you rather they were getting blown out, or do you expect them to go 17-0? Because they're going to lose games. Like I
agree, but the narrative that you guys presented was that this team has only lost by 6 points or less, and that's an amazing thing. To me, I'm the dead opposite. How are we losing by 6 points?
Okay, so again, would you be less upset if they were losing by 10 or 20 or 30 or 7? Like, I don't understand the premise. I'm struggling to really grasp.
It's we're so back. I mean, yesterday we had the trap game. Now we have the close game narrative that the Bills are flawed, whether it's McDermott or something else, because all their losses are close. Or they don't win their share of the close games, which is shown to be a pretty random thing. 2 years ago, they lost all of them, right? Or the year before, they lost all of them. And last year, they won all of them. It just goes back and forth. And nobody seems to notice when you're winning those. But you know, this guy's mad because he thinks they've lost more than their share of those, right? That's accurate, isn't it?
And then what you guys talked about, though, like, so if we flip it a little bit, is at the end of the day, like you said, the only thing that matters, Bulldog, is what you do in the playoffs. And why are we not winning those games, too? There's close games where it's 13 seconds or otherwise, and you just can't seem to win those games either. So that seems to me to be a trait. Sounds like in the regular season, in my opinion, you can lose these close games, and we do it 4.5 on average times a year we lose close games. And then as soon as you get to the playoffs, it's the same scenario, 13 seconds and otherwise. It's a common theme, and I don't personally think that it's a talent issue. They got Josh.
You think at all it's a Chiefs issue? Is that fair to say? You are playing someone else. When you lose a close game in Philadelphia to a team that by winning goes to 11-1, like, you know, it's not only your fault.
You're right, and it could be, but it could also be a Houston Texans issue, but it could also be a Cincinnati Bengals issue. It could also be more. It's not like we've only lost to the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. We lose regularly in the playoffs. And we beat bad football teams. But every time you play a good coach, a good football team, we end up losing that football
okay,
team.
Okay, well, that's, you know, you're entrenched. That's cool. My thing is that's still not that large of a sample. You know, never, right? We're saying that now. They've lost one playoff game in 4 years to a team that wasn't Kansas City. Like, what is the big extrapolation from that? I don't know. Like, to me, that's just not so indicative of who you are. It happens. They're good, too. And 13 seconds is fair. To varying degrees, this is fair. They lost to Denver last year in a close game because they couldn't figure out how to line up with the game on the line.
And I think their coach killed them in the Philadelphia game, which was a close game that they lost in overtime.
It happens sometimes. When you lose to, you know, not all these games are that, is all. Jacksonville might not be that. You had injuries, and they were there an extra week, and you lost by 5. Like, there's a lot of randomness in it. That is a known fact. Does it never tell you something about your team? You can't say that either, because sometimes it will. They've won their last 3. You'll be happy to know, Rex. Regular season close games. New England, Chargers, Kansas City down the stretch. But the playoffs! I know. Just trying to, you know... We're just trying to get along here. 803-0550, we're so back.
Oh, yeah.
Trap games, close games. I mean, let's talk about deferring, right? Should the Bills defer if they win? I just love, like, we're so, finally, week one. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.